Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's episode is with Carmella. Carmella was one of those accounts I followed right at the start. She's actually an events director, so she's always around parties and events, and she loves that. In fact, she's somebody who doesn't believe that you need to stop partying just because you've stopped drinking. What Carmella's noticed in sobriety is that she's been on a bit of a journey of self-discovery. She's found that she's more reliable, and now she really has found her voice. I hope you enjoy it.
For anyone that doesn't know my journey, you know, the way I got sober was myself, and I never went to AA, GP. You know, I had had conversations where, you know, during the pandemic, my mental health had taken a massive nosedive and had some frank conversations, but it was, you know, try and cut down, try and exercise, yeah. Try and meditate. It is great advice if you're in a position to be able to implement that advice on your own. Yeah, I just wasn't there. So Sober Instagram was my support mechanism.
Sober Instagram was my route. And this morning at 4 o'clock when I woke up, I was going back through your account because I like to have a little look at who I'm chatting to. And I do remember looking back, and I scrolled right back to the start of your account. And I remember looking, thinking, because you actually did start day one, and you've left all the posts up there, haven't you?
I have. And because my account has morphed and evolved, you know, it generally is my diary. But whilst it's my way of life, it was actually someone who, you know, I met through Sober Instagram. You know, he said to me, because my account was private, right? And, you know, and it was very locked down. And he said, I think that if you told your story, it would really help people. And I was like, ooh. You know, don't want to tell my story. But then something inside me said, you know what, yeah, as much as I feel uncomfortable, I'm getting inspiration by someone putting themselves out there and being vulnerable. So actually, yeah, I should do that, because the rawness and experience you can share, and I will say this to anyone who's early on in their sobriety and maybe looking at my account and thinking you've got nothing to impart, you're in it. You're living it. You are learning as you go. And by sharing that, it's there. It's there as you're learning. It's there as you're experiencing it. And that is golden to other people that are in your situation. Because actually, me, so far into my sobriety, it's quite hard to take yourself back there into those granular details sometimes. So, yeah, you know, if that's anyone listening to this, you know, please just share. Be vulnerable, because your vulnerability is actually going to be someone's saviour. So, you know, definitely.
Yeah. And well, I watched you in my kitchen. And so if you hadn't have put your account public, then, and it is, isn't it? You just find those people that you think, oh, now I resonate with that person, or I recognise myself in that person. Because you read some books and some stories and you think, that isn't quite where I was.
And I hear you. I really hear you. And what I will say is, there is no right or wrong way in sobriety, right?
Exactly.
Just as you're not going to like everyone in real life, just because someone's sober, don't mean you have to like them. Just because someone's sober doesn't mean you have to find them inspiring. Quite the opposite, right? We're all humans. And that, I have to say, the way that social media is growing and evolving, it is giving us options. It's giving us avenues, because I don't know whether this is the same with you, but I am feeling it now of how lonely I was. I felt so lonely. I wasn't that family member who was bad enough to go to rehab and get proper treatment. But I, you know, when you speak to health professionals, I wasn't that bad. So where do you go?
Yeah.
I was in this no man's land of, you know, benchmarking myself against my peers. And actually, I would say that even I was drinking less than a lot of people that I know. You can't Google, am I an alcoholic, and get a definitive answer. And it leaves a lots of thoughts of, am I bad enough? Should I be trying to stop drinking? Should I be trying to moderate my drink, or is it all in my head? Is it just me that is hearing this voice saying I'm drinking too much because I'm looking around me and no one else is hearing it? So what's wrong with me? It becomes all on you. It becomes this negative self-talk, and it affects other areas of your life too, because you feel like a failure. You feel like a failure because you're not being able to drink and handle life like your peers. You're thinking there's something wrong with you, but even the doctors aren't giving you that definitive answer of yes, you need to do this. You're in this no man's land. It's the most horrible, vulnerable place that you can be. But until you realize and have the conversations and realize that actually there are so many people that are feeling exactly like you, do you go, okay, it's not me. Maybe it actually is alcohol.
Yeah, that was the biggest realization for me, was literally sitting there and going, oh, it's a drug. Oh, why have I not realized that before? Oh, it's highly addictive. Okay, well, that makes more sense now as to why I was struggling to moderate.
I'm going to be quite frank here. It's interesting, isn't it, how we view alcohol? Because even though I know alcohol is a drug and it ruins lives and everything, I often get pulled into these funny debates, and usually on LinkedIn. So it's nothing sort of in the sober circle, but it's usually the debates around, well, are you saying that alcohol should be banned? And I find myself going, well, no, because I'm pro-choice. But I wonder, why am I being like that? Why am I always still giving alcohol a get out of jail free card? But I do believe in choice. I will say that. I think that if something's ripped away from you, you're going to want it more. I think that, when you're looking to change your relationship with anything, I don't think prohibition works. Look at history, it didn't. Re-education, though, because if you looked at, let's say, cigarettes, for example, had we have just ripped cigarettes away from the smokers, there would have been uproar. But it's been phased out. And how many smokers do you know now?
And
Yeah.
nobody's under any illusion, are they, that it's good for them, or that it's, any of the messages that were being sort of said in the 1920s and 1930s.
And we look at it and we go, oh God, look, someone's still smoking, and they, haven't they, do they not read? Do they not know? Why are they still doing it? And it's almost like they're frowned upon and judged. But I want to sort of say, looking at smoking, and yes, smoking has direct link to cancer. So does alcohol. But many more types of cancers than smoking. And then we don't look at all the other areas of which, alcohol impacts in a negative way. Hospital admissions, and we're just talking from drunk night out, okay? We're talking about domestic violence, we're talking about burglary, we're talking about drink driving, all these crazy things that you would never have experienced by smoking a cigarette. And yet smoking has been phased out. It's interesting, isn't it,
I
really? And
think it's going to be very interesting in the next 10, 15, maybe 20 years, what happens with alcohol. Do you, I sense a shift.
I think there's going to be a shift in the way that we as consumers decide whether we're going to consume alcohol or not. I don't think it's going to be a government-led
No.
initiative. I think it brings too much money to the economy. I think it's a great way of repressing us. I do. And that's not
Yeah.
woo, but that's what it is. Alcohol is a downer. But I'm not an expert on all this. But yeah, I don't think it's going anywhere,
Well, you're an
unfortunately.
expert by experience, aren't you? I think that's the thing, is that we all experience the marketing and the kind of pushing. And I would sort of try and err on the side of, I don't want alcohol bash, but bloody hell, doesn't it need it? I don't know if you still get fading effect bias at 3.5 years in. Are you quite resolute, or just sometimes that romanticized idea creep back in for you?
No, not through the marketing. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And actually, and I think a big reason why that isn't romanticized for me is because I still go to bars regularly. I'm in those areas, but I have a glamorous cocktail. Do you know what I mean? It's not like that life is off limits for me. It's just the alcohol that's off limits for me. I did have find myself in an interesting situation the other weekend of actually when I felt really triggered to drink. Now, there's nothing in me that would ever make me drink. And when people say, is this forever? For me, I personally think, well, you've got to aim for something. So I'm aiming for forever. That's not helpful for everyone, but it is for me.
You're the first person that said that, and that makes me feel really good. I really love that idea.
You know what I mean? You've got to set your flag somewhere, right?
Right, I'm setting mine up forever then with you.
I'm just, yeah, and why not? That's empowering to me. Whatever works for you. But I like to think that I've done enough work for me to realize and to set my life up in such a way that what the fuck could alcohol bring me? Now, I'll tell you what it could bring me, and I'll bring back round to that example of where I'm in a social situation with people, I'm meeting new people, and I'm out with a friend, and everyone is drinking. And I just was kind of with me, if the magic ingredients aren't there, and if I'm not super, should we say, motivated by the night out, not to say that where I was, there was anything wrong with it, but I probably could have sort of ended my night a little bit earlier. Where everyone was drinking, and I was so not on the same wavelength, and I was kind of just struggling with because I get nervous meeting new people. I love it, but I can find it quite draining, especially when there's a lot of new people that I have to kind of get around the room and network. It's different if I'm working, though, but that's just a
Yeah,
very,
different
I'm
mindset.
very good at sort of putting on a different sort of persona. But where everyone's so, they're drinking loads and they're loosening up and I wasn't able to do that. And I kind of find myself getting a bit tetchy with my friend because she's getting limber, she's having a drink. And I feel like I just kind of feel like I'm being in mum mode. But I can acknowledge that alcohol would have given me a little bit of relief in that moment. And sometimes it is lovely to feel that. And it's fine to acknowledge it, but it's
Yeah.
whether you feel the need to act upon it. Because you have to weigh up what is that going to give me beyond that moment of where I'm in a bar with some people that I will see again and I will be in that bar again and this isn't my last night on earth. What are the consequences of that one drink for me? People say to me all the time, couldn't you just have one? Yeah, I could have just one, but that opens the door for me. And yes, I could moderate. But it doesn't mean that in my mind, I'm moderating along with, the outward appearance of moderating. I've got this internal conflict going inside. I'd be looking for the next drink. I wouldn't be giving two shits about what you're doing. I would be solely focused on this weird little internalization around alcohol. And I know that's just, I don't want to live like that. I want to engage. I want to interact with people. I don't want to be living in this world which I'm creating and which alcohol's kind of enabling. Some of the reasons why I found myself drinking to excess sometimes without even realizing it. And it's an observation I've definitely put my finger on. Now I'm sober. If that I'm on a night out and we've all been there and you're kind of glammed up and you want some good music and you want some people to talk to and you just want the right vibe. You find yourself out, there's no one interesting around, the music's shit, there's no one out, and you're finding yourself kind of in that place where the magic ingredients aren't there. So what do? You have a drink and you kind of limber up a little bit. And then you have another drink and another drink. And before you know it, you're in exactly the same situation in the same shitty bar where there's no people. The music's crap, but you've took yourself into this alternative reality that alcohol is creating, right? So you're in your own little world, everything's hazy, you become less and less aware of your surroundings, and you think you're having a good night.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, when you strip it all back, the only thing that has made it a good night is the alcohol and that alternative reality that you've created for yourself, and it isn't the night out. When you're sober, what you realize is that if the magic ingredients ain't there, that's fine. You're off. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? You don't feel the need to stay in that shitty bar with the boring people, with the rubbish music. You're like, okay, I'm quite happy to call it a night. I've had a couple of, I've seen my friend, had a catch up, spent a couple of hours together. I'm kind of quite happy to then go home because I know, but I actually have got lots of things happening the next day that is going to bring me joy, and I'm not living for that moment.
It's almost like you're lowering your expectations to the shitty bar and the dodgy music and the no friends. You're lowering those expectations down by drinking this thing that's dumbing you down,
Absolutely.
rather than going, this situation is just not where I want to be. It's not the right vibe for me.
So you stay out for all this extra time, you waste time
And money.
in something that's not there anymore.
If you'd like to listen to the main episode, then head back to the 16th of April on your podcast timeline, episode 17 with Carmella. If you'd like to find out more about working with me, then head to my website, louisaevans.com. I don't just support with sobriety, I also help with many other areas, including anxiety, overthinking, and low mood. On the website, you'll find lots of resources, including my online Sober Resilience course. And if you use the code RESILIENCE544 as a Sober Rebel listener, you'll get a 30% discount. And also a range of hypnosis recordings. Use code SOBERREBEL, all one word, to buy one, get one free. Self-hypnosis is a very powerful and effective way to begin to reprogram how we automatically think about things. You'll find a range of different topics on my website. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests on the Sober Rebel podcast for sharing their story and for taking the time to talk to me. The Sober Rebel podcast will be back very soon. I'm just currently recording some fantastic episodes to share with you. I hope you have a good day.